Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 20 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we praise the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener, for all the prayers and support. And we thank the Lord for all the great messages that He has given us. And we thank the Lord for the next year. We pray for all the good things that are happening in the ministry here in Kenya to come to pass in the next year. Today we're going to be talking about great faith. And this is part two in a sermon message, a sermon series on faith. And faith is the currency of heaven. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we're going to be talking about this today. If you have your Bible there, we're going to start it in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. And we started on the school project last week. We're digging a big hole for a septic system. And it's about 12 feet deep, 20 by 10. So we've got several people working on that project, building a soldier house and getting in materials to start working on the septic system. So we're going to be looking for support for this school project, and we want to encourage you to get in touch with Gather the Outcast Ministry. Email me if you have questions. Email me if you have any ideas about what you can contribute, what you can budget for this project. And we're going to need probably a couple $100,000, maybe more, by the time it's all said and done. So pray about your part. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, if you have any questions, and we'll give you contact information at the end of this broadcast. Well, today we're going to be talking about great faith, part two, and we're going to look at the definition of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, and I suggest you read that chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Roll Call of Faith, and it's a roll call of the saints of old, the saints of the Old Testament, who expressed and exhibited, manifested great faith in their life, and so they're still talked about today, their exploits and their great faith. And so we appreciate the saints of old. You can get on that roll call of faith if you step out in faith yourself, and if you just read that chapter, it will encourage you and it will motivate you to do something great for the kingdom of God. And one of the reasons I'm talking and preaching about faith is because we're embarking on this school project, and for me, this is a great faith journey. It's going to take a lot of money, more than I've ever raised before. It's going to take a lot of money to get this project going and to take it all the way to completion, and I'm trusting the Lord that He can do it. It's going to be a school for 200 to 300 children, so it's going to take a big structure, three separate buildings. And so we look forward to seeing what the Lord can do, see what the Lord will do in regards to this school building project. Well, Hebrews 11:1 starts with the definition of faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony, and by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And so God called into being that which does not exist. Romans 4:17, God called into being that which did not exist. He didn't go to the hardware store and buy materials. He spoke into existence the universe. He spoke into existence this earth that we inhabit. He spoke into existence everything that started creation, the sun, the planets, all of the angels. He spoke them into existence. And the Word of God is powerful because the Word has that creative ability. That word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt dwelt among us. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so that is a discussion in John chapter 1, talks about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And so the Word of God goes forth, and it has creative power. And so this is a challenge for us. This is an enlightenment for us, that when we speak the Word of God over our situation, when we speak the Word of God over things that we're creating or relationships or anything in our life that looks to be a mountain, anything in our life that looks to be difficult, if you speak the Word of God over that situation, there's power in the Word of God. There's power to go forth, and the Word can bring in things which do not exist. And so the Word is very powerful. The Word is very important. It's important for you to know the Word of God. With God, all things are possible. Things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God, and you activate that possibility. You activate in the natural the things of God through the Word of God. And so with all things God are possible, and so you just have to activate it by speaking the Word of God. And so faith is a substance, and many times in the Scripture, in the New Testament, Jesus talks about faith being the size of a mustard seed. We'll look at that Scripture here in just a minute. Sure, Matthew 17, Jesus talks about faith the size of a mustard seed. And if you've ever planted turnips, or you've ever planted kale or cabbage, you know that little tiny mustard seed, all of those plants are part of the mustard family. If you plant that little tiny black seed, it's no bigger than the point of a Bic pen, and you put that in the ground, and the Lord waters it, the Lord provides the nutrients through the soil, that little tiny black seed will become a great plant. It will become a cabbage that's 10, 15 pounds. Sometimes in Alaska, they say 20, 30 pounds for a cabbage. And so that little tiny seed is a representation of the measure of faith that you have been given. And every single person on the face of the earth, whether they're a Christian now or a Christian in the future or whoever they are, they have a measure of faith that the Lord has given them. And so we thank the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for the measure of faith that He has given us for this ministry here in Africa, even for this radio broadcast. It was a great step of faith. I had no experience on the radio. I had no experience with the technology. And even today, sometimes the technology is a challenge. But I had no experience with it. I just stepped out in faith. I believed God would provide. And here we are 20 years later, and we are still on the radio, still bringing great messages. And God has provided. We've never missed a payment since that first year. We've never missed a payment in 20 years. And so faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's not what you have already seen that you're operating on. It's what you hope for that you have not seen. And it is evidence, the conviction of things not seen. And so the conviction is that you believe you're going to have it. The conviction is that you believe you're going to see it. And you pray believing as if you've already received. And so when you pray, you believe you're going to receive it. When you pray, you believe that you have a conviction, that you are convinced that God is going to answer your prayer. You are convinced that it is going to be put into your hand, whatever you're praying for, provision, or praying for a piece of land, praying for a ministry, praying for a wife, praying for a husband, whatever it is that you pray for. You have to be convinced that God is going to provide it. Then you have great faith. Well, Hebrews 11:6, we'll look at this again. We looked at it last week, but this is such an important scripture. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. or to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. James says in James 2:14 to verse 17, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. James says, you show me your works without faith, and I will show you my works that I have done because of faith or with faith. And so without works, faith is dead. You can't just sit there in the pew week after week or sit at your home in your easy chair and say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. Well, God says, show me your faith by your works. Show me what you have done with the faith that I've given to you. Do you have anything at all to show for your faith in God? And that is God's plan for all Christians. That is God's plan for all churches, that you do exploits for the kingdom of God. The government of Jesus Christ will never end, tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, and the increase of his government will never end. And so what are you doing to help the government of the kingdom of God, the government of Jesus Christ? What are you doing to promote it, to help it expand? What are you doing to help missionaries? What are you doing to help churches? If you don't have anything that you can show that your faith has pushed you to do, if you don't have any works to show, then you have to question, do you really have faith? And so that is God's plan for your life, that you have faith and you translate that faith into works. And it's not by your own power, but God will reward you. Hebrews 11:6 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And when you step out and you do something great for God, you know you're getting a reward in heaven. Maybe you give a big donation. Maybe you step out and teach a Bible study. Maybe you step out and go to Bible school. I don't know who all's listening out there today. There's some people contemplating probably go to Bible school and study and get some kind of a degree so they can be a minister. Whatever it is God prompts you to do, step out in faith and believe. Number one, God will provide the provision. Number two, he'll provide you the strength to get through it. He'll provide you the revelation and the vision in the first place to accomplish exploits for the kingdom of God. Well, Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to look at a couple of instances here where people showed great faith and Jesus commended them for their faith. And so this is an example and an encouragement to us to be encouraged to step out and utilize our faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 says, as suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And so she had great faith. She had been afflicted for 12 years with this flow of blood, with this affliction. It was causing her a lot of torment, a lot of pain, a lot of embarrassment, I'm sure. And so she pressed through this crowd, and it may have been hundreds, may have been thousands, doesn't say, but she pressed through this crowd, and she knew that if she could just touch Jesus' garment, that if she could just come close enough to him to touch his garment, she believed that the power in that garment that this man was wearing would make her well. Well, Jesus turned around, verse 22, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. And so he said, be of good cheer. He said, cheer up. Your faith has made you well. And so he didn't send her to the doctor. He didn't go look for pills at the pharmacy. He said, your faith has made you well. Your expression of faith, pressing through this big crowd, even after 12 years of suffering, pressing on through this big crowd, it has made you well. Jesus said, go and suffer no more. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that very hour. Well, praise God for that. If you're suffering today, you may have been suffering from some infirmity, from some sickness, maybe you have cancer. I say to you today, take encouragement from this passage of Scripture. Believe that God can heal you. Believe and step out and do something today. Don't focus on your illness. Don't focus on your infirmity. Step out today and do something great for the kingdom of God. Maybe you just need to go to church for the first time in years. Maybe you've been out of church, out of the fellowship. You're not in any fellowship with other believers. Maybe that would be a great step of faith for you. Just step out, go back to church, submit yourself to the teaching, submit yourself to the leadership, get in a small Bible study group and start to study the Word of God with other believers. That may be a step in your healing. And so Jesus Christ then goes on down, and in verse 27, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, Yes, Lord. And so that's the first question he asked of them. He didn't ask them, where is your doctor? He didn't ask them to go take an eye test. He said, Do you believe I am able to heal you? And they said, Yes, we believe. And so then in verse 29, he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be done to you. And so they expressed to him great faith. They said, Jesus, we believe you're able to do this. And so Jesus said, according to your measure of faith, what you have expressed with your mouth, what you have expressed here today, that you believe I am able to do this, Jesus said, according to that confession, you will be made well. And their eyes were open, and Jesus simply warned them, saying, see to it that no one knows it. Well, many times in the New Testament, Jesus encountered people and he said, don't go run and tell people about it. Well, most of the time, the people that received the healing did go and tell people about it, but Jesus didn't want to be exposed or revealed according to his divinity, according to his power. He didn't want to be exposed or revealed until the time when God said, it is time for your revelation. And so the people were healed, the two men, they received their sight, they received their healing. Again, if you are struggling with some infirmity today, pray believing that you've already received. Ask God to heal you, ask God to strengthen you, to raise you up. Start thanking him. Thank the Lord. Pray believing that you have already received, and then go and do something. Your faith has made you well. Go and do something to show that you have been healed. And so when you step out in faith, maybe it's just to move your body in a different way. Maybe it's just to move your shoulder, move your arm, move your leg. Maybe it's just to get up out of your wheelchair, get up out of your chair. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs, walk across the platform at Crusades. People that have been in a wheelchair for many years. I've seen people who have been blind and started to see. Got a phone call one day out of Kilifi. Got a phone call the next morning after we had a crusade, and the pastor said, this man who was blind last night, he's starting to see this morning. He's starting to see lights. He can see images. And so when you step out in faith, you start believing for things that you have not believed in before. You start to believe and trust God that he is doing a great and mighty work in you. When speaking about doctors, we don't discourage people from going to the doctor if that's where your faith level is at. But we also acknowledge Jesus Christ is the healer. Jesus Christ and the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. We believe that they are able to heal no matter what the medical situation in you is. We believe they can heal. The Bible is full of supernatural miracles, even in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, supernatural miracles. And so we serve a supernatural God. And so I believe even for today, we still serve that supernatural God. Well, in Matthew 17, Jesus talks about the faith of a mustard seed. And it starts here in verse 14, Matthew 17, 14. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." And then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon in that boy. Well, he was a demon-possessed boy. He had epilepsy, severe epilepsy. He was a demon-possessed boy. And many times, those kinds of seizures, epileptic seizures, other kinds of seizures, grand mal seizures, are caused by demons. And so Jesus rebuked that demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And so there are many illnesses that are caused by demons. Not all. Some are just organic in nature or natural in nature. But there are many illnesses that are caused by demons, even deafness and different kinds of pain in the body can be caused by demons. Demons cause pain when they attach to your body. When they oppress you, they cause pain. And certainly for people who are demon-possessed, outright demon-possessed, in other words, their spirits are given over totally to demons, they can have all kinds of seizures. They can have all kinds of mental torment and mental instability, thoughts of suicide, even practicing attempting suicide. All of these things can be caused by demons. And so Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and that child was cured from that very hour. Some of you may have illnesses that are derived from or promoted by demons or caused by demons. You need to pray, ask the Lord to give you revelation. Anytime we have demonic oppression and demonic possession, God can heal us without the aid of medical science, without the aid of pharmaceutical medicine, because the demons come and they oppress, they attach to your body, they cause pain, they cause torment, they cause pain and torment in the mind. And so those are spiritual issues that need to be dealt with by spiritual solutions, spiritual remedies for spiritual issues. And the remedies are, you get close to God, you speak to those demons through the Word of God, you speak, and just like God called into being those things that were not, as called them as though they are, you speak over yourself healing, you speak over yourself life. If you have thoughts of death, thoughts of suicide, speak life over yourself. Speak scripture over yourself. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You speak life over yourself. The Lord came to give us life and life abundantly. It tells us in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give us life and life abundantly. So the scripture speaks life over us. The scripture speaks life. It cancels death. And so that is what you need to do. Speak life. Give yourself spiritual solutions to spiritual issues in your life. Well, Jesus is still dealing with this young boy and with the disciples. And it says the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, "Why could we not cast this demon out?" And Jesus said to them, verse 20, "Because of your unbelief," or your lack of faith, your little faith, "for assuredly I say to you, If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so there's times when you need to pray and fast. There's times when you need to get a glass of water and your Bible and spend time in prayer and fasting. Maybe some demons will flee from you. Maybe whatever's been oppressing you will let go of you. And Jesus said, because of your little faith, and he's talking to the men who were walking with him every single day. He's saying, because of your unbelief, your little faith, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Well, every single person has mountains in their life. Every single person has challenges in their life. I challenge you today, speak to that mountain in your life. Speak to that challenge in your life. Say, mountain, move, whatever it is. Maybe you have financial burdens that look like big mountains. Maybe you're great in debt and you just can't see your way out of the debt. Speak to that mountain. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Ask the Lord to move that mountain. Maybe you have physical infirmity, sickness, maybe you have relationship struggles with your wife, your husband, your children. Speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus. Ask the Lord to move that mountain and believe that it shall be moved. Pray and believe that it shall be moved. And if you feel called to, if the Lord impresses upon you, you need to pray and fast and then watch that mountain move out of your life, because Jesus said nothing shall be impossible for you. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. All the 20 years that we have been bringing these messages to you, we thank the Lord. And so we want to invite you to partner with this ministry. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. Our address, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654, or you can find us on PayPal at paypal.me/gatherTheOutcasts, or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com, and find us there at Facebook, Jim Rao, and so you can contact us if you have any questions about the school project or anything else we're doing. PurePrairie@Hotmail is my email address. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.